So who is this Jesus? Or as Jesus put it, who do you say that I am? When I was 18, between going to school and going off to university, some of you know I worked for a while as a bus conductor. And working alongside me was a school friend, Fred. Fred and I had applied for the job together. We knew each other quite well, and I have to say we had a great time. Then I went off to university, and Fred decided to stay on the buses. And in fact, as far as I know, he still is. The last I heard, he was driving coaches around Eastern England. And an honourable profession it is too, Cyril, is it not? Now, that's really all I know about Fred in the last 40 years. Very occasionally his name crops up in conversation, and all I can say is, well, he's a coach driver, and I've heard that he's really enjoying it. That's my stock response about Fred. 40 years on, I know little more about him. I know very little about what else he's doing or what he's done with other aspects of his life. And if somebody asks me, who do you say that Fred is? All I can say is, I think he's still a coach driver. 3 years later, I met Ruth. Now, if someone asked me, who do you say that Ruth is? I'd hardly know where to start. There's so much that I would say, as we've enjoyed nearly 40 years together as husband and wife, a close, ongoing relationship. Now, I don't want to get too personal, but just take a moment to think of someone you know well and see regularly, someone whose company you enjoy, somebody you confide in, somebody you travel through life with, somebody to give you a nudge or even a kick when you need to get on with doing something, and so on. You get the idea. A living relationship. And in our Bible reading, Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And I guess for most of us, our knowledge and experience of Jesus is somewhere between these two extremes. And as Dave said, the purpose of this sermon series is to encourage us to reflect upon who we think Jesus is, how well we know him, and what role we would like him to have in our lives. Here we have a man born 2,000 years ago in Palestine who, as time went on, started to refer to God as his father. But let's listen to Johnny Cash, who can remind us of the story of Jesus. And if you want to follow the words, they're on the back of the white notice sheet.
Here was the man. A man who was born in a small village, the son of a peasant woman. He grew up in another small village. Until he reached the age of 30, he worked as a carpenter. Then for 3 years, he was a traveling minister. But he never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born. And where he did go, he usually walked. He never held political office. He never wrote a book. He never bought a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. And he never set foot inside a big city. But yes, here was a man. Though he never did the things that you'd usually associate with greatness, here was a man. He had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with this world except through the divine purpose that brought him to this world. And while he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. Most of his friends ran away. One of them denied him, one of them betrayed him, and turned him over to his enemies. Then he went through the mockery of a trial, and he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And even while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had in the world, and that was his robe. When he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave provided by compassionate friends. More than 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race, our leader in the column to human destiny. And I think I'm well within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed the seas, all of the legislative bodies that ever sat, and all of the kings that ever reigned, all of them put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth so powerfully as that one solitary life. Here was a man.
Indeed, here was a man, quite a man. And the question for today is the one that Jesus posed. Who do you say that I am? And this is the core question that I invite you to spend the next few weeks thinking about, reflecting on the life and significance for you of Jesus. It's significant not just because he was a remarkable man, but because he wishes, note the present tense, for us to have a relationship with him. He wishes us not just to know about him, but to know him and to sense his presence in our everyday lives. He calls us to follow him. Now, we're used to calls to follow others. Messrs. Miliband, Clegg and Cameron, for example, are keen to secure our allegiance at least once every 5 years. But Jesus invites us to a far deeper level of commitment. He'd like to be at the very center of our lives, not just every 5 years, but every day. H.G. Wells wrote this. He said, "I'm a historian, not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that the penniless preacher from Galilee is irrevocably the very center of history." But Jesus actually wishes to take things further than that, to be at the very center of our individual histories too, as we recognize and embrace him as the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I'm quite a visual person. I quite like to imagine people as I think about them. And at times, I found myself wondering what Jesus looked like. I think most of us today are pretty clear that Jesus would have had the dark features and olive-coloured skin of a Palestinian. But like many of us, I suspect, I grew up with a clear picture in my mind of a Jesus with long brown hair, white skin, and penetrating blue eyes. The picture that appeared in my children's Bible, and I guess the children's Bibles of many of you, printed in London. Then one day, I saw a series of pictures of the New Testament painted on plates by Chinese artists. And I noticed that in these plates, their Jesus looked Chinese. And I found that very challenging. Of course, appearance doesn't really matter, but perhaps we should be aware of the dominant issues and images which we bring to the table when we think about Jesus. Bishop John makes much of trying to raise our awareness of how we look at Jesus. The bishop suggests that it's because we view Jesus through our own particular prism that most of us have a lopsided, unbalanced picture of him. He quotes a few headings, some of which are quite entertaining, as those of you who have read the book will agree. Some of us, for example, see Jesus primarily as a judge figure. Jesus in judgment. And therefore we worry when we think about Jesus. Others have a dominant issue of Jesus as gentle Jesus, which perhaps prevents us from having a properly rounded picture of all that Jesus stood for. And this in turn can make any serious attempt to follow Jesus less satisfying. Some of us are very conservative about the Bible text. Others of us are quite liberal. Others, the bishop said, see Jesus as something of a national trust figure. Very much respectable and socially conservative. Sort of Jesus in tweeds. And in contrast, others see Jesus as a subversive, as a revolutionary. Jesus in jeans, if you like. If Morris were here, he'd say a real lefty. But problem for many of us is that we tend to see Jesus through a particular perspective, like one of these. We just pick and mix bits about Jesus that fit into our prism. And we fail to develop a mature, rounded understanding of Jesus, which we can relate to and which can help us in the different stages and challenges of our lives. And sometimes this means that we don't have the theology to cope with difficult, challenging situations. And when they come upon us, our faith weakens and even disappears. So the hope of the ministry team is that this 6 weeks will help us all to look at aspects of Jesus' ministry which perhaps are not clear to us, as well as reminding us of the wonderful things that we happily accept. I think, incidentally, that many of us are very defensive about our particular approach to viewing Jesus, which isn't necessarily helpful to spiritual growth. And perhaps over these next 6 weeks, we need to relax that a little bit as we think through issues together. Now, I began this talk by posing the question asked by Jesus, who do you say that I am? Now, I'd like to finish by just offering three personal answers to this question, in the hope that you will feel encouraged to work out for yourselves your answer to who do you say that Jesus is. First of all, for me, Jesus is a friend and companion. Unlike my bus conductor friend Fred, I do try to keep up to date with him. And I like to remind myself of the things that he said and did. And I often ask myself, what would Jesus do about a particular issue or situation? I like to talk to him, but sometimes he seems quite distant. And I find I need to take out my Bible and perhaps read some of the gospel passages or maybe a psalm to help me to reconnect. I find reading a passage from the gospel or reading a psalm a great way to reconnect with Jesus, to reconnect with God. And I know that, like a good friend, he's always there for me. I've always been inspired by that picture by Holman Hunt of the light of the world, where you have Jesus standing just the other side of the door, waiting for us to open it. He's always there for us, but sometimes we shut him out. So, who do I say that Jesus is? I say he is my friend and companion. Secondly, it's important to me that the word Saviour and Redeemer actually mean something very real. I don't understand everything about the Good Friday story, but I do believe that it was and is very significant and precious for me. We all have feelings of inadequacy. We all have things we regret. We all have feelings of insecurity about our mortality. At least I do. And I believe strongly that because of what happened on that Good Friday, I can know forgiveness of my sins and furthermore have confidence in his continued presence as my friend and companion now and beyond the grave. So who do I say that Jesus is? I say he is my Saviour and Redeemer. And thirdly and lastly, I've learnt from the Apostle Peter that I would like to say that Jesus is my Lord and my God. Not just my friend, but a friend whom I try to turn to on a regular basis, a friend whose values and attitudes I try to keep at the centre of my being. Now, I'd like this to be more true. I'm working at it. But I do try to put him at the centre of my being. I guess I'm a work in progress, as they say. So who do I say that Jesus is? I'd say that he is my Lord and my God, and I'm working at it. In the book, Bishop John quotes Mahatma Gandhi, who wrote this. He said, "I love your Christ, but I hate your Christians. They're so unlike him." Mahatma Gandhi wrote, "I love your Christ, but I hate your Christians. They are so unlike him." And recently I spoke with a vicar from California who said he encountered many similar comments from young people he met in his parish. They didn't like Christians and the way they behaved. What an awful thing for us to hear. What an amazing challenge for us to take up as we take a fresh look at our discipleship and at how our following Jesus plays out in our everyday life. So let's use these next few weeks to each have an honest look at Jesus, to perhaps clear the decks of old preconceptions and hang-ups, and maybe reach a fresh appreciation of him and our relationship with him. And maybe in 6 weeks' time, each of us will have a more certain response to his question, "Who do you say that I am?" I hope and pray that this is so. Amen.